Welcome back to the Wealthsteading Podcast. This is episode 45. It's November 16th, 2014. I'm your host, John Pugliano. I'm also the founder and money manager of InvestableWealth.com. Today's episode is part two of a three-part series, which are extracts from a presentation I gave on building wealth from a prepper and permaculture perspective. This was given on November 7th, 2014, just a week or so ago, at the Survival Podcast Fall Workshop. It was conducted at the homestead of Jack Spirico. It was a great event. I wish you could have been there, and that's why I wanted to share this message with you. In this episode, I talk about stock trading in general and specifically discuss using moving averages and momentum. And when appropriate, I interject with permaculture design principles. And we'll pick up that presentation in progress. So sit back, relax, here it is.
Okay, so this is the part I want to talk to you about actual investing in stocks, because that's the question everybody asked for. So this whole first part has been leading up to coming to the stock part, but you had to understand the other part about how to build wealth before we even talk about stocks. And as far as whether you're talking about investing in stocks or investing in anything, investing in real estate, investing in buying a product or service,
bullets,
investing in bullets, whatever the case is, you always have to be cautious, okay? And I tell my clients, the easiest way, the number one way that I know of to lose your wealth, okay, the quickest way to lose your wealth is to get an ex-wife, okay? I promise you, it's the easiest way you can get rid of your wealth. The second easiest way to lose all your money is to invest in things that you don't know anything about, okay? And that can be real estate, that can be, you know, a stock market, that can be buying a small business, it's something you don't know anything about. So when I go, everything I talked about before was kind of common sense, things you can all integrate into your life. This investment part, you need to pursue cautiously. And don't ever think you're the smartest guy in the room. Every trade you make, there's someone on the other end of that trade. So every time you buy a stock, every time you buy an RV or a car or whatever you do, you're parting with your money to make that deal, and you think you're getting a good deal, but the other guy thinks he's getting a good deal too, or he wouldn't be taking your money. So think about that. Be very, very cautious. The most important thing to remember on all this is that everyone's a salesman. Everyone's trying to figure out how to take your money from you and give it to them, right? Period. Think of it. I mean, that's everybody's function in life, is they're trying to open up your wallet and take money out. And so you have this very, and it's no different in stocks or in insurance or any kind of stuff you're buying. You think, oh, this person's providing a service to me. No, they're trying to make a living. So again, they're on the other side of that trade. You need to be very cautious and conscious of the fact that they're trying to sell you something. So look at everybody as like a used car salesman. As far as people in my industry, financial advisors, and I've got a question on Jack's show coming up next Friday, one of the call-in questions he sent to me this week. I'll be answering this question, so I'll give you guys a sneak peek beforehand. My thoughts on selecting a financial advisor, and this is just going to be brief. I'll go into more detail on the phone call, but just in terms of brief, hire somebody you don't like because it'll make it easier to fire them, okay? And that's counterintuitive. But remember, these guys are relationship salesmen, and they're going to do everything they can to get you to like them. And so that when they lose you hundreds of thousands of dollars, you're still going to be their friend. You don't want to be their friend. You want them to make you money. That's the only reason you're hiring them. So hire somebody you don't like. That's why I have so many clients, because I'm so unlikable. It's a plug for me. The second rule is you probably don't need one. Okay. In most cases, many of us here, most Americans, you don't need a financial advisor. Okay. And if you do need one, you don't have enough money to afford a good one. Okay. So most of you maybe don't even think about getting one. Don't trust them, for one thing. They're crooks. And then second part is you can't afford the good ones. So just figure out how to do it on your own. That's good advice. I'll bring back this relationship thing again, because I'm telling you, they're going to hook you. I used to get birthday cards from two people, my mother and some guy that wanted to be my financial advisor, right? Only two people would ever send me a birthday card. They don't want to be your friend.
Mortgage off,
right? Yeah. All these, the people that want your money, they're going to send you birthday cards. Don't trust them. I don't send birthday cards to my clients. If any of my clients, don't feel offended. I don't send any birthday cards out. I try and make you money. I really do. I look at my accounts and I say, wow, I made that guy money. He's going to like me. We're good, right? That's all we got here. It doesn't matter what politics I have, what religion I am, whether I'm my race or my any of that, right? Did I make them money? That's all they care about, and which is what that's all they should care about. As far as relationships, though, right, get a dog. If you want a friend, get a dog. That's my puppy. I'm not sure if he looks like me or I look like him, but okay, back to permaculture kind of concepts. We think in guilds, right? Guilds are kind of threes. We think of threes with guilds. So let's think of some three. And if you noticed early on, a lot of these things were threes. There were earn, save, and invest. There's a lot of things came in threes. We're going to keep up that theme of threes. Whenever you buy a stock or any type of investment, there's only three outcomes. Anybody know what they are? There's only three. Yeah, yeah. They're going to go up, they're going to go down, they're going to stay the same. And that sounds, again, really simple, really basic, but I bet you probably haven't thought of it in those terms. Most people don't think of it in those terms. Those are the only three things that can happen, though. The trick is that this isn't like the roulette wheel or poker or blackjack, where you have odds. Just because there's only three outcomes doesn't mean there's like 30% chance of any one of those things happening. If you pick a lousy stock, you can hit 100% down every time, right? There's no law of averages, okay? It's all about uncertainty and unknowns, okay? So when people say, well, investing in the stock market is like gambling, no, it isn't. Gambling has odds. You can beat the house with gambling. There are no odds in this. There's three outcomes, but no one can know, and no one. You hear a talking head on TV, someone that tells you they have a secret algorithm or insider information, no one can know. September 11th, 2001, 8 o'clock in the morning, New York City, was a bright, shiny, beautiful morning, right? An hour later, the whole world changed. You don't know. There's the stock market, no matter how much you may like a stock, no matter how much you may have studied it, and again, any investment, you don't know what's going to happen. Bernie Madoff perpetrated a Ponzi scheme for 25 years. A lot of people made a lot of money till one day they found out he was a liar and he was scheming everybody. Never failed an audit, by the way. 25 years, never failed an audit. He was a crook, but no one knew it until the end, until it blew up. Enron, a lot of people made money in Enron. All kinds of good press on Enron until one day they figured out it was a scheme and it fell apart. So be cautious of that. You don't know those outcomes. Now we're going to talk about how we can, I always say, if you have someone that tells you they got this algorithm or this trading program and they've back tested it for the last 100 years and it always, don't believe it. And I'll say that and people say, well then, you know, why should I invest with you? You have this system too. Isn't that an algorithm? Well, I do have a system, but I'm telling you, I don't know. There's no way. I haven't back tested it because it wouldn't do any good. I can back test it all I want yesterday. My grandfather would have told you that General Motors and Sears were good companies to invest in. All right. General Motors went bankrupt. Sears been bankrupt. They're going to go bankrupt again. We don't know what's going to happen in the future. So let's talk about how we can use, like we would with permaculture, we can plant things. And this is a good analogy. When we were out there yesterday in particular, when Jack was describing things, this is a tree I don't like, right? And it snapped. Well, he put that in the ground thinking it was a tree he liked, right? He did research. He said he didn't plant things he knew wouldn't grow because he's not stupid. He planted things he thought he would grow. He did sector analysis. He looked out and said, this looks like a good spot. This might be a little iffy, might be a little edgy, maybe a little too much shade, but he had some thought that it was going to work or he wouldn't have put it in the ground. But yet things fail. And that's because they do. Sometimes frosts come early. Sometimes frosts come late. Sometimes there's more predators one year than another year. Stock market's the same way. You may have the best laid plans and you just can't guarantee it. So we're going to learn to look at some of those events. We're going to look at some of those telltale signs, but we can't predict the events. And again, no matter what you hear about people that have all these strategies and techniques and all these talking heads on TV and people that want to sell you newsletters, everything comes down to these three methods. These are pretty much three screening methods that people use. And they either use all of them or they use one of them. And that's fundamentals, technicals, and trend analysis. Again, in permaculture, we're going to stack functions. We're going to integrate, not segregate. So we're going to use all three of these. Fundamental analysis simply means that you're looking at the fundamentals of the stock. Do they make money? What's their profit margin? What's their price per earnings ratio? How much debt do they have? These are facts. Those of you, the guy, remember Joe Friday? Just the facts, ma'am. Just the facts. That's what fundamental analysis is. You look at a stock and you can go to Google Finance, Yahoo Finance. Any of those companies will tell you more information than you're ever going to have time to read about the fundamentals of a company. All the websites are equally good. Look at the fundamentals of the company. You know, make sure they look like they're making money. They don't have outrageous debt. They have competent management. Those are all the fundamentals. The technical side is a little more, this is where the voodoo comes in, where you see the Cramer guys on TV screaming and yelling and pointing at charts and things. You can get 100 people in a room that all agree on the same technique and they'll still all come up with 100 different answers. Okay. So these are very subjective. And again, you can back test your theories and all this, but they are just theories and they're all based on uncertainty and probabilities. And if the model's wrong, you know, it's like predicting climate change 1,000 years from now. Whatever you put in that model and how that model is constructed is going to determine what your answer is. No one is going to have any clue what the climate is in 1,000 years. The stock predictors are the same way. We can use technical analysis as a guide, but it's like predicting the weather. The last thing is trends, and those really go in combination with the technical part. A trend can be long-term or short-term or near-term. The baby boomers, that's been a long-term trend for the last 60 years, right? We could follow them, their progression from when they were born to when they went to high school to when they went in the job force and now they're retiring. That was a long-term trend. And over the long trend, people like Harry Dent is a famous guy that's written a lot of books about the demographics. If you followed his advice broadly, you could have made a lot of money. But if you followed his advice specifically, you would have lost a lot of money. Okay, so yes, it was a fact that these were going to happen with the baby boomers because we could plot that out on a map. But we still could only make assumptions. We could only guess when they were going to retire. We could only guess how much money they were going to spend for their housing. We could only guess how many kids they were going to have, things like that. And so you can make broad general terms long-term, but you can lose a lot of money waiting for your long-term to happen, right? There's a saying, it's been attributed to you've heard Keynesian economics. Keynes, I don't know if he really said this or not, but I've heard the quote attributed to him. It's that the stock market can remain irrational longer than you can remain solvent. Okay. So just because you're right doesn't mean you're going to make money, right? You can be right and lose money. The housing bubble didn't blow up for a lot of years. A lot of people thought it was going to come and kind of come. It never came. And finally, one day it did. Dot-com bubble was the same way. If you'd have listened to Alan Greenspan, you'd have gotten out about 2 years early. His irrational exuberance was about 18 months or 2 years early. And you'd have missed like a 350% gain if you'd have listened to him. Ultimately, he was right, but you'd have given up a big gain. So you got to work on short-term, near-term, long-term trends. Again, you're integrating them. You're not just looking at only one. So think of stocks as weeds, okay? When in terms of how we think of weeds in permaculture, weeds are annuals, right? Think of stocks as annuals. Like I said, my grandfather, he would have liked Sears stock. Well, Sears hasn't made money in 20 years. They're still around. Some people still invest in them, but they don't make any money. Every year, a stock has to prove itself. Every 6 months, every day. It isn't something you're going to put money in Apple computer and set it and forget it and hope that in 30 years you're going to make a lot of money off of it. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. Maybe right now Apple's dominant product is the iPhone, and right, that could change. Sony used to have this great product. It was called a Walkman. They made billions. They were hot in the 80s. They had a Walkman, right? Walkman. Google that. Google Walkman. Case in point, right? There was a thing called a Walkman one day. It was hot. It made a company a lot of money. People would have thought, you know, think of those brands, Panasonic, Sony, Canon. Those key Japanese brands are pretty much wiped out by the iPhone. You don't need a GPS. You don't need a digital phone. You don't need a digital recorder. You don't need a GPS. You don't need any of that. It's all wiped out by one product. And that product, the iPhone, will someday be wiped out by something else. So think of stocks as weeds. They're annual. There's a season for them. They're going to come up. Also think of weeds as being opportunistic but valuable, right? We don't want to put Roundup on our weeds and kill them. Dandelions, we can eat them, right? My grandfather lived to 96. He loved dandelions. He ate dandelion salad all the time. He loved dandelions. We know that the weeds are going to bring the nutrients up from the ground. They're going to, if a weed grows in that spot where there's something needed filled, they're going to come in there. They're going to pioneer it, right? They're going to improve the soil. Then something else eventually going to crowd them out. Think of stocks in the same way. If this, particularly this new company, it comes up and it's doing something, well, why? Why are they making money? Why are they new? They're in 3D printing. You know, what is that? Learn about it. If that one company's in it, you know what? More weeds are going to pop up. Competitors are going to jump in. Even Hewlett Packard, after 10 years, is jumping into the 3D printing market this week, I saw. So if there's profit to be made there, other companies will jump in. So look for that. Look for the growing markets. Look for these weeds popping up. They're going to show you where the energy is. Remember, you want to collect and store energy. The weeds are going to show you where the dynamics is on that edge in the stock market. Stun. When I heard out of Permaculture Voices and I heard Mark Shepard talk about stun, I thought, man, I should have thought of that. I love that term. I tried that with my kids. It doesn't work. Don't neglect your kids. No, I'm joking. Yeah. Stun is a great concept though. And you can even use it for stocks. Now, don't use it for stocks when you're investigating them, right? That's when you do all your homework. But think of it in these terms. Remember stocks, they're way out in zone 5. They're totally out of your control. You have no influence on them at all. Once you buy that stock, you push that button on your computer and you buy a stock. Start thinking in terms of sheer, total, utter neglect. Because you can hope that stock goes up. You can pray for that stock to go up. You can follow that stock and get alerts and emails and tweets about that stock. You can do all these kind of things. And you know what? That stock is going to do what it wants. You have no control over it. So at that point, you're going to neglect that stock and you're going to have rules. If it goes up to this point, I'm going to sell it and I'm going to take a profit. If it goes down to this point, I'm going to sell it and I'm going to take a loss. And at some point, if it keeps staying the same, I'm going to sell it and move on to something else. There's three outcomes and you're going to do one of those three things. No emotional attachment, right? We say with stocks, you date them, you don't marry them. You don't want to become emotionally attached to any stock. You don't want to fall in love with some CEO and say, oh, as long as he's at the helm, you know, it's going to be great. They go up and they go down. Think of them as weeds. Look for the energy sources. Look for those new weeds popping up. You want to keep things really simple. And this is a statistic. I told you there's no odds or anything. It's still not an odd, but you can take this one to the bank. And did I say this? Okay. So you want to really remember this. The market's moving momentum, okay? And this is something you can believe in because it's rational where you can map it out. You can look at the stock, you can pick up any newspaper or look on the internet or something any given day of the week, and you'll see the stock is in a what? Uptrend, or the stock is in a downtrend. They may call it a bull market if it's up, or they may call it a bear market if it's down. If it's up, they also may call it a rally. There's different terms, but basically they're gonna say the market's up, the market's down. And we know it can stay the same, but they never tell you that because that's boring, right? It's like, they're not going to tell you that. So it's always going to be euphoria or depression. There's never like in between, which is what it normally is. So any given day of the week, you can tell where the stock market is because someone's going to tell you that. But what defines that trend? Okay, what makes an up market or a down market? And I highlight this. I put my little reminder on there. Make sure. If you don't remember anything that I said today about trading stocks or investing, remember this statistic. This is so important. 70% or better of all stocks move with the market direction. And the reason I say that this is valid, and this is something you can just fundamentally tell it's true, why is it an uptrend? Because the majority of stocks are going up, right? If Apple goes up and 7,000 other stocks go down, is it an uptrend? No, because Apple's the only one that's up. The indexes, the averages, can only go up if somebody's above it, you know, if the average stocks are above average type thing. So in good markets, bad stocks will go up. And in bad markets, good stocks will go down. 2008, when the stocks crashed, Google went down to, I think, $298, the summer of 2008, somewhere around there, fall of 2008. So good stocks went down. Apple didn't weather the storm well, right? Good stocks will go down in bad times. Bad stocks will go up in good times. It's the tide rises and sinks all boats, right? The reason this is so key is because it really is the only statistic that you can really count on. And what it means to you is that you want to avoid bad markets. And again, sounds simple, but this is, I'm telling you what's heresy about buy and hold. And everybody's going to tell you buy and hold, Warren Buffett, buy and hold. In my opinion, just thinking about this statistic alone, why would you ever want to buy and hold? And the reason they want you to buy and hold is because most chases, they can't sell. If you're a portfolio manager and you're invested in a particular type of portfolio, you've got to be invested in that. You have to be 95% of the market. If you're running a S&P 500 index fund, you have to be in the S&P 500, even if it's going to go down. If you're in a small caps value fund, your prospectus mandates that you're 95% in those small caps. Even if you know they're all going to go out of business tomorrow, by law, you can't sell them. You have to keep them. So they also want you to stay in because it gives them time to get out, right? If you're a hedge fund that knows how to get in and out of the market, and we saw this during the last recession, Goldman Sachs, these other guys, they're telling all these clients one thing, and then they're doing the opposite trade with their money on the other side. They're not honest. I mean, you know that. That's intuitive. You know that part. I don't have to tell you that. But this is true. Good stocks, all stocks will go up in the market, not all, 70% or more. So there'll still be 20% that are going to go against it. So there's still an odds where you can lose, right? It's not a sure thing, but at least you have a better look at the market when you look in these terms. So how do you make this work for you? This is the important part. Again, we're back to the three guilds. All trading schemes, all algorithms, all methodologies, you go back 180 years, they're all based on these three things. And they're short-term average, near-term average, long-term average, like we talked about before. And basically, they're looking at the 10-day moving average, the 50-day moving average, or the 200-day moving average. The 50-day is really key because every quarter earnings come out. So every 90 days, the 50-day moving average, we're talking about trading days, not calendar days. That's why it's 50 days. So a 90-day period would be a 90-day quarter would be a 50-day trading session. Every quarter, a stock, if it had bad or good earnings, its price will fluctuate because you know what it is. And then just before earnings, the price is going to fluctuate because you're anticipating what it's going to be. So you're always going to get movement on that 90-day average. If people think it's going to have better than earning expectations, it'll be above its average. If they think it's going to have less earnings potential, it'll be below its earnings average in that 50-day. So that's a very key thing. But all algorithms, all these principles, I don't care how sophisticated MIT graduates these guys are going to pitch to you and tell you that they have the strategist, they're still based somewhere on these three principles. So here's how you can make them work for you. And I know this one's small, so we won't dwell on this one. The other ones get a little bit better. But so this is the S&P 500 going back over a couple of years from 2010 to 2013. although it did go up in that period, you can see it didn't go up all at once, right? It ebbs and flows, goes up and down, up and down. That's the characteristics of the market. And we'll talk more about these averages, but as you get more into detail and you look beyond just those three things, you're going to look for like things like volume. The volume will tell you certain things. You can see how volume was higher here, lower there. You can see the spread. This is a weekly chart. So in this 1 week, stock index dropped from way up here to all the way down there. Right? And that's phenomenal. That's a 3 month move. In 1 week, it moved what it would in 3 months anywhere else. So you can see how the market's very, can be very volatile. When you're out on the beach and there's a hurricane warning, right, you come in. You get out of the water. So if you start seeing high volatility, you get out of the market. Why be in the market and expose yourself to that? So those are the things we're going to talk about. That's why I believe that buy and hold isn't the best thing for everybody. Again, it's observe and interact. We know that from working with nature. We know that from our permaculture principles. Okay, so this is the S&P 500 this year. S&P 500 index fund, that's the 500 largest blue chip companies in America. Okay, so this is, when you hear about the market, that's the S&P 500. Generally, when people tell you to invest in index funds, this is one of the ones, or the main one that they're telling you about. You can see big, although it's gone up very nicely this year, it's up about 10%, it didn't go up in a straight line. And yes, if you bought and held from here to there, you did very well. But if you happen to buy that day, you didn't do so good. And they do talk about dollar cost averaging. But they always tell you about dollar cost averaging. When the market's going down, they'll tell you, if you invest when the market's going down, then when it goes up, you'll make money. But they never tell you, yeah, but if you invest when the market's high and it goes down, you lose money. Right? So, I mean, it works both ways. You want to figure out how to at least work on that upper average part. How do you get in when the market's going up? Well, we know at least 70% of stocks go up when the overall market's going up. So let's look at some of these. So again, I know some of you back there probably can't see this, but for those up close, the blue line is the market. That's what we just saw. It's going up and down. We have those three trends. You can go to Google, Yahoo, CNN Money, anybody. They'll print these charts out for you. Okay. In the old days, we used to have to plot them out by hand, but you can get this done in about 3 seconds online. You can see the 10-day moving average, the 50-day moving average, the 200-day moving average. Every stock, every index is going to have a personality, right? They're just like your spouse. You can predict their moods, right? And you know your particular, but you know Jack's mood, not that Jack's moody, but Dorothy knows Jack's moods, and she knows probably if Jack's down here at his 200-day moving average, she's not going to bother him, right? She's going to leave him alone. That's the way the stock market is. Look at this personality this year. This is a 200-day moving average. It never got close to the 200-day moving average until about 5 weeks ago. And when it did, it broke through it and it went down pretty low. So that was out of its personality, right? Remember, there's short-term, long-term, near-term. So we're talking about a short-term trend here. But you can see pretty much it hovered around its 10-day moving average for most of the year, whether that average was up or down. And only a few times did it break its 50-day moving average. And again, it never really got close to its 200-day moving average. So if you saw the market coming down, breaking its 10-day moving average, the 10-day moving average breaking the 50-day moving average, pretty good sign that, and it's uncertain. It's going to go up, it's going to go down, it's going to stay the same. But knowing that 70% or more of all stocks are going to go with the general market trend, you can assume that if the market breaks through its 50-day moving average when it had not done that the previous 3 months, and you still hold on a few more weeks, and now the 10-day moving average breaks down through the 50-day moving average and the stock's obviously still coming down. You can see why it made that big drop that day. Because when it is exactly on that day when it broke its 10-day moving average. When the 10-day broke the 50-day moving average. Because that's the way all the algorithms are set up. That's the way all the high-frequency traders are doing it.
Well, that was the main part of the presentation that covered stock trading. And I'm going to end it here. If you don't have the stock charts in front of you to look at, it gets a little esoteric. I hope you picked up a couple tips. For example, think of a stock as a weed. It's an annual. It's something that will move in and fill in a void. You can use it to identify energy flow in an economy. It also has its own personality. You should be mindful of that personality and watch and observe the patterns. I'm not a believer in buy and hold. I think even the average investor will do much better by watching for market momentum and buying and selling accordingly. Well, I look forward to seeing you back here on our next episode, where we'll finish up with part 3, and you're not going to want to miss that episode. That's where I drill down and talk about small business and how that might be the best means for you to build your personal wealth and freedom. And again, we'll do it from a permaculture perspective. You won't want to miss that. Until the next episode, don't forget, money may not buy you happiness, but it can buy freedom. This is John Pugliano wishing you the very best of returns.